John 14 and 5, Thomas saith unto him, saith to Christ, Lord, we know not whither thou goest. He's talking about, I'm going, follow me. And how can we know the way? Jesus saith unto him, they had been looking at the way for 3.5 years. I am the way. I'm not only the way, I'm the truth. And I'm not only the way and the truth, I am the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. I'm the way to the Father. I'm the way to the Spirit of God. The way to the Spirit of God is through me. You may be seated. I'm going to continue to read. These things have I spoken unto you. This is John 14:25, reading on down. I could read a lot of it, but I'm just going to try to conserve time. These things have I spoken to you, being yet present with you. The way is with you. Look at me, I am the way. You have been following me in the way. And as long as you could see me, you could follow me in the way. So as long as I'm present with you, it's easy to follow me in the way. But the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name, it will be the new way. The one you can't see. He shall teach you all things. I have been teaching you all things. As you sat and listened to me in temples along the seashore, you listened to me in people's houses, and you've heard me as I spoke out of my flesh. He shall teach you all things, the Spirit, and bring all things to remembrance whatsoever I have said unto you. Then Luke 24 and 48, Jesus has resurrected. He has now on the road to ascension. And he stops and he turns to his disciples and he said, and ye are witnesses of these things. All the things I did in the way. You saw everything I did in the way. And behold, I send the promise of my Father upon you. But tarry ye in the city of Jerusalem until you be endued with power from on high. And he led them out. He's continuing to walk, and they continue to see him after he was resurrected. They followed him out as far as Bethany. And he lifted up his hands, and he blessed them. And it came to pass, while he blessed them, he was parted from them and carried up into heaven. And they worshipped him and returned into Jerusalem with great joy and were continually in the temple praising and blessing God. Amen. I want to preach for a little while the day the way ended. The day the way ended. Pray with me. God, I come before you. We don't have but a little while here, and I got a lot to cover. But Lord, if you just open up their minds and their hearts to understand and receive this word, what we say in the next few minutes will last the rest of their lives. In Jesus' name, amen. John the Baptist did what? Prepared the way. There's one coming after me. I'm not the way. I'm a voice of the way. But he is the way. And so John the Baptist was the precursor. You know what Christ was? The cursor. The cursor. It's just like you got your cursor, you move, he was the way. So you hadn't thought of Christ, he was the cursor. You just followed wherever that was. But John the Baptist said, follow the cursor. I'm the precursor. He was the forerunner, and Christ was the runner. He was preparing the way, Christ was the way. So early in Jesus' ministry, he began calling people to follow him in the way. Some followed, some did not. But he beckoned people to call him, calling Peter, James, and John, and Andrew. They were all fishermen, and he called them, listen, from their boats. He called them from their family. He called them from their homes. He called them from their city. He called them from their lifestyle to follow him in the way. And the Bible says, they didn't say, let me go home, check with my dad and mom. They were with their dad on the boat. They just said, see you, Dad, we're following. Yeah, him, that's right. We're following him in the way. I don't know who is he? I don't know, but boy, he talks with such power. He's convinced me to follow him in the way. And so they left their, I want you to keep a mental note. They weren't really leaving, I'm ready to get out of the house anyway. You know, I'm just sick of this fishing anyway. They went back to fishing. They were making a good living, fishermen. They had boats. They decided on their own to follow him in the way. And so it seemed apparent he wasn't calling people in his early ministry that were in trouble. When David said, anybody in distress, anybody got debt, come, you can be in my army. Boy, he got 600 men just like that. Nothing else to lose, might as well go be in that army. And a lot of people go to the army to get away from trouble, right? Even today. And so these were not in trouble. We can't see where they were at odds with their family. We have a physician that left his practice, if you will. We have a tax collector that left that prestigious job that he had. And Jesus received them as they followed. In fact, he received all of them, it seemed like, that followed him. So Jesus preached to them, take up your cross and follow me. I am the way. Just follow me and I'll lead you to wherever I'm going. And so Christ picked up 12 we know to be called apostles, but he picked up, can I tell you, thousands of disciples. I know where he picked up 5,000 in one day. They were already following him, not including the women and the children. Another time, 3,000. Just take that number. That's 8,000. Man, does anybody in here have 8,000 followers on Twitter? I couldn't get 8 followers on Twitter. I'm not on Twitter. Well, I do have an account. I don't go on it, but. So he helped so many people that it was easy to want to follow him in the way. He healed, the Bible says in one place, he healed everybody that was brought to him. It wore him out, healing people. Well, it was easy to follow him in the way. I mean, good grief, I couldn't even walk. Now I'm going to get to follow you. I had leprosy. I was fixing to die. Now I believe I'll follow you. And so they followed him because he had done something for him. They followed him in the way. And we look at one of Jesus' staunch followers, if you will, was a lady named Mary Magdalene, a lady whom he had cast out 7 devils. You'll read in several places where it named certain disciples that were with him and Mary Magdalene. Mary Magdalene was a huge witness. She was a visual witness of a woman that people knew. It was really Mary of Magdala. That was really the city she was from, and she got coined the name Mary Magdalene. I mean, it really was Mary of Magdala, the city. And so she was a follower of Christ. I mean, cast out 7 devils, I'd follow him too. And so she was a visual witness. Lepers were following him that were once lepers. Impotent men were following him that were once impotent. All kinds of people were following him in the way, and they were all well. They were all whole. They all were rejoicing as they followed him in the way. But I can tell you there is one person that Christ refused to let follow him. There's one person that he said, no, you can't follow me. And I would like to take this as a case study tonight. There's so much information in this that it is astounding. I'd like to use this as a case study of why Christ told him, don't follow me in the way. We'll go to Mark. It's in 3 Gospels, but let's go to Mark and we'll just stay there. Mark 4 and 35. Now, I'm going to set this up, so this is why I need you to be awake. The previous chapter says, to where he told this man this, and the same day when evening was come, he saith to them, to his disciples, the 12, let us pass over unto the other side. There was the Sea of Galilee, I believe it was. And they're going to, Tiberias as it was called. Let's go to the other side. What's on the other side? We're doing good here. Not many people want to leave a place where they're already doing good. We've just fed 5,000. We've just had revival. I kind of like to stay where I'm having revival. I mean, I think we're growing here, and the Lord tells me, go where they got 3 people and start over again. I say, Lord, are you sure? I mean, we're doing good here. So he tells his disciples, let's go to the other side. Many of them followed him so much in the way when they heard he was going to the side, they ran by foot to meet him so that when they got here, they say, yeah, right here, I'm still following you. You can't lose me. I'm telling you, you can't let Jesus lose you. You've got to follow him wherever he goes. Get there one way or another. And so these were following Jesus to the other disciples, to the other side. And we know that his disciples, he told them, get in a boat and I'll meet you on the other side. We know the story. They get in the storm, right? And here comes the way on the water, making a way for them to get to the other side. Because if he tells you get to the other side, he's not going to leave you. He's going to be there in your trouble to help you get to the other side. And so he helps them get to the other side. So the next chapter starts like this, Mark 5:1. And they came over unto the other side of the sea into the country of the Gadareans. Now, let's skip down. I'm going to come back. Let's skip down to verse 21. And all this stuff was done there, and we're going to talk about it. And when Jesus was passed over again by ship unto the what? Other side. He went back to where he came from. He went back to another side, supposedly, when you read this, to the same place he left. And it says, much people gathered unto him and was nigh unto the sea. There was some that was waiting for him to come back. Others ran ahead. Some like was waiting for him to come back whenever that would be. And this is all happening in one day, according to what we read in the scriptures. So the way, if you will, Christ being the way, made a way for them to get to the other side, amen, all in one day. And when they get to the other side, they're going to encounter something. And it's interesting to me, what's on the other side? And a very interesting thing happens, and I'm going to paraphrase as we go. When he came out of the ship, the Bible says in that chapter in Mark 5, so when he came out of the ship, immediately there met him out of the tombs, this man that has an unclean spirit. As soon as he hits the sand, and here comes a man that is unclothed, he's battered, he's bruised, he's bloody, he's scabby, he is in shambles. And he runs to meet Christ. Or does he run to meet Christ? I have preached on this before, and I'll touch back to catch you up, because I know y'all have forgotten it since 3 or 4 years ago when I preached this. Well, maybe not everybody. This man had his dwelling among the tombs, living among the dead. No man could bind him, the Bible says, no, not with chains. Can you imagine that? This is supernatural. It's not God, but it's supernatural. They could not naturally bind him, no, not with chains. Because he had often been bound, they said, with fetters and chains. They've tried. And the chains had been plucked asunder by him. Do you know any men strong enough to do that? It ain't him. Can I tell you, it ain't him. Nothing that we're going to read right now is him. It's the what's inside of him. Just like if I pray for anybody and they're healed, it's not me. It's what's inside of me. And he plucked him asunder, and fetters around his feet were broken in pieces. Neither could any man tame him or calm him down. A wild man, always, night and day, always, relentlessly in the mountains, in the tomb, crying. They heard him in the city. Oh, that's him again, crying. Oh, that poor fellow. And he's crying, and he's cutting himself with stones. So this man is jagged. He's bruised. He's torn. There's scars on top of scars. He's a mess. But when he saw Jesus afar off, the he here is the devil's. Everything so far is the devil. When the devil saw him, he ran to him. It's been preached countless times that this man had, and I've heard it again recently, countless times it's been preached, this man, you can't stop people from worshiping God. He, even though he was full of demons, he was still worshiping God. No, he wasn't worshiping God. The demons were. And I'll show you. But when he saw Jesus afar off, he ran and worshiped him. The he is the devil's. It's the one speaking out of him. If you've ever dealt with the devil, and I have, I've heard him speak out, I will not come out of her. That's not her. That's what's inside of her. And that's the same thing here. The demons know that there's but one God, and they tremble. You know what worship is? Reverence. They reverence God because they know their days are numbered. And cried with a loud voice, they cried, and cried with a loud voice and said, what have I to do with thee? Now, does that sound like a man that wants deliverance? Come on. Is that a man that wants deliverance? That doesn't sound like the worship of us that would be sick or anything. Say, what have I to, see, you see, they've misunderstood this all these years. What he's saying is, the devil's inside of him. What have I to do with thee, Jesus, thou Son of the Most High God? They're showing worship or reverence to him. And I could read another scripture, I don't have time, that says the same thing in another place that the devils did say. I adjure thee by God that thou torment me not. That's the devil's plight, is to be tormented. In another place you'll read, it's before our time. You see? Because that's their end result, is to be tormented. So they're crying out of this man, we know who you are. You are God. You are the Most Mighty, the Son of God. And don't come and cast us out and throw us into torment before it's time. That's the devil's crying out. The devil controlled everything this man did. He didn't have seven. He had thousands. They controlled the running to God, to Christ, to plead for mercy. They didn't want to come out. If it was the man, he would want deliverance. But the devils didn't. And so they control his voice, so they are speaking through him, saying, what do I have to do with thee? Well, Lord, if he wants deliverance, I'd say, Lord, I'm so glad you came here. I'm glad you got a lot to do for me. Are you with me? For he said unto him, come out of the man. See, he didn't speak to the man. Not before, he didn't speak to the man until he first spoke to the devils in the man. He said, come out of the man, thou unclean spirit. And these devils will reply. And he asked him, what is thy name? And he answered, saying, my name is Legion, capital, for we are many. Legion was a company, a troop, if you will, of Roman soldiers. And he besought him much that he would not send them. You see that? He besought them much that he would not send them. He besought, meaning through his voice, that they would not send all these devils away out of the country. Because demons have jurisdiction. They have principalities and powers. And they rule as spiritual wickedness in dark places, in high places, over rulers of darkness. And so they said, this is our territory right here. If you send us out, leave us in the country. Because, boy, we're having success here. Now, you got to catch this. We're having wonderful success here. So don't send us out of the country. And you know what? The Lord listened to them. And I'm going to show you why. Now there were there nigh into the mountains a great herd of swine feeding. And all the devils besought him. The whole bunch of them. They all, every one of them, the legion of them, there's thousands of them crying at him, saying, send us into the swine so we can stay here that we may enter into them. And forthwith Jesus gave them leave. He granted their request, and I'm going to show you why. He granted their request, and the unclean spirits went out and entered into the swine. And the herd ran violently down the steep place into the sea. They were about 2,000. So if one devil got in one devil per pig, there were 2,000 devils, minimum, and were choked in the sea. Why? They wanted to be released again. Because once you're dead, they're gone. And they wanted to be released again, listen close, to enter back into the region and into the area and infect more people. And they that fed the swine fled, Wow, where have my little pigs gone? Look at this. Check this out. That no good Jesus. Now watch. This gets going to get deep. Them that fed the swine fled and told it in the city. Evangelism is starting. The word of God is spreading. People are now hearing about God, Christ, and this man. They not only went to the city and into the country. This thing's going further than just the city. See, Christ was so smart. And so they're now into the city, and they're into the country, and they're saying about, man, you should have seen it. I'm telling you, this guy, he cast him out, this one man, and 2,000 swine went into the world, and them demons are on the loose now. They're on the loose. Now watch. And they went out to see. They went out to see what it was that was done. Word got out through the swine, if you will, the death of the swine, what Christ was doing. And men came out by the scores and by the numbers. This is a lot better than knocking on doors. It's a lot better than one-on-one Bible study. When you can see the miraculous like this, they come to you. This was the best thing to attract people and to get out into the word out than you could imagine. Nothing else could get it spread that quick. And they come to Jesus. Woo, I like that. And they come to Jesus. It's time for somebody to come to Jesus. I've heard it said, I had a Jesus moment. No, you need to come to Jesus. And they come to Jesus and see him. Not only did they come to see Jesus, they really came to see that man because they could not believe it. For night after night and day, I don't believe it. You know how many people come to Christ because they didn't believe it? You know how many people came to the old tabernacles and the things they had because they couldn't believe it? And it got on them too? To see him that was possessed with the devil and had the legion sitting and clothed, and in his right mind, and they were afraid. Ooh, it's working. It is working. Because anytime the power of God shows up, people get afraid. They aren't right. You know why people don't come to church? They don't want to hear it because they're afraid. They're afraid. Many times something would happen in the city, and great fear would fall upon the city. That was a fear because they weren't right. And they saw this man that had the legion and the devils, and they began to recognize that it was through this man that it began to happen. They saw him sitting. He was used to roam and never sit and just go about through the tombs. I've never seen this man sit before. I've never seen him quiet like that before. He was sitting and clothed. Amen. The clothes not only covered his nakedness, but it covered his scars. It covered the bruises. It covered the moments of pain and suffering that he had went through. Amen. He clothed him. Let me tell you, Christ, God will always clothe you. He'll never leave you naked and destitute. He even clothed Adam and Eve. When they committed sin, they clothed themselves. He said, no. That didn't clothe your sin. And when he says you're clothed with righteousness, it means you are forgiven of your sins. He clothed you with righteousness, meaning I've covered your sins. And so he clothed Adam and Eve. They saw this man sitting there in his right mind. Is there anybody in their right mind? Oh, my God. He was in his right mind. Before, he was acting like he was out of his mind. He was acting insane. And I preached a sermon. I know y'all don't remember, but I preached a sermon a long time ago titled, "You're a Candidate for Insanity." Every one of you, I don't care how old you are, how young you are, whether you're black, white, 400 pounds, or 40 pounds. It doesn't matter what nationality you are. Every one of you are a candidate for insanity. You go to the fifth floor of St. Pat's Hospital, you'll see all kinds of people there. Doctors are going insane. Preachers are going insane. Everybody is a candidate for insanity. If the devil can take your mind, he can take your soul. Because the Bible says, Paul said, we serve Christ with our mind. Yes, sir. And the devil had taken over this man's mind. And they saw him sitting. How are y'all today? I'm having a good day today. Are y'all having a good day? That can't be. He was in his right mind. And so that witness became the greatest visual testimony of the power of Christ. He superseded that of Mary Magdalene, who followed around with the disciples where Christ went. And they become afraid of the power of God. It was a demonstration of God's power. And there is no greater ministry than that of demonstration. I love the word. I love to preach the word. I love to. But let me tell you, that'll help you grow. But it doesn't draw sinners. It does not draw sinners. The greatest thing that draws sinners is a demonstration of the power of God. That's Paul said, I don't come with enticing words of men's wisdom, but I come with the power and the demonstration of the Holy Ghost. Nothing will convince you like a demonstration. Let me show you. Right? And that's what Christ did. Let me show you. I'll show you. I'm God in flesh. I'll show you. Thy sins be forgiven thee. Let me show you. Take up the bed and walk. He told that man, sins be forgiven first. And they're like, nobody can do that. Take up your bed and walk. Only God can do that too. And verse 16 says, and they saw, and they that saw it told them how it befell to him that was possessed. They're telling it. Are you getting this? They're telling it. How that him that was possessed with the devil, and also concerning the swine. They're telling everybody. The word is getting out. And they began to pray him to depart out of their coast. They not only wanted Christ to leave, they wanted this guy to leave. Get rid of that testimony. We don't want him walking in our town. No. And Christ had already hurt their business. They lost 200 pigs that day. I mean, the price of pork went up that day. Because if you had a pig, it was valuable. And so they wanted Christ to leave, just like he wanted the demons to leave. Isn't that amazing? And verse 18 says, and when he was coming to the ship, okay, now here it is. He's getting in the ship, picture Christ. Well, wait a minute. He just got there. This is the same day. He gets over. They go through a storm. He gets over. He steps, heals this guy. He's getting back on the ship. Surely that's not all you're going to do. You come all the way over here just to do that? And he came, and he was coming to the ship. He that had been possessed with the devil prayed, ask him, please, that he might be with him. I'm asking you, let me get on this boat with you. I'm asking you, let me be one of your disciples too. I'm asking you, let me follow you in the way. But Jesus refused him. Why? Peter didn't refuse him. John didn't refuse him. Others did because they had something else to do. But this man wanted from his heart to follow him. Howbeit, Jesus suffered him not. He begged him. He said, no. And I'm going to tell you, I got bigger plans for you than just following me in the way. And Jesus suffered him not, but saith unto him, Go home. Go home to thy friends. Go home to your family. Go home to your neighbors and tell them for me. Tell them the way. Go home and tell them how great things the Lord hath done for thee and hath had compassion on thee. There's no need for me to go. You're such a powerful witness that's all they need to see is you. And when they see you, they'll know it was me. So you leave me and go home. So Jesus refused to let him follow him in the way. This man would become the greatest ocular display of the power of God that ever was. And the reason Jesus refused for this man to follow him in the way, he was a witness of the power of Christ above any witness there was in the region. Amen. Christ, I hate to say it this way, couldn't have done a better job himself.
Because there's nothing like a witness. There's nothing like, you know, Peter and John said, "Say we're going to have unknown," and that lame man rise up. When they threshed them, they brought him with them. They brought that man with them to be the witness. Because you're going to beat me? Look at him. Beat me, but he was lame. Now he's not. What are you going to do about that? So this man, everybody knew him. So he tells him, go home first to your family, and go home to your friends. This man would show others the way while Christ went away. And he departed. This man obeyed Christ, and Christ departed. So that way went one way, and this man goes the other way. But he has the way. And he began a publishing company. He began to publish in Decapolis. This man was so powerful. I don't know where he got the money from. I don't know. Maybe he got the floating pigs and sold the meat. I don't know. But he had enough capital to publish this thing. It wasn't emails back then, y'all. And began to publish in Decapolis how great a things Jesus had done for him. And all the men did marvel. Brother, it was working. Because when Christ would do a miracle, they say, and they all marveled. He wasn't even there. But he was. His witness was there. And they all marveled. So I'm getting to my point. Jesus was so smart. Jesus went back and he goes back across to the other side. And there he meets Jairus and the woman with the issue of blood. And he tends to their needs while this guy tends to their needs. And he began to go home first. Why? It's like the disciples. He said, go start in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria. You know, you got to go home first. And you know why he had to go home first? Can I tell you why? Because the people he hurt the most were at home. Kids that don't live for God hurt their parents more than they hurt themselves. The ones that are hurt the most are the ones you leave at home. And the Lord said, before you minister to anybody else, you better minister to your home. There's too many ministers that look like public successes but are private failures. Never minister to their own family, but they're going to go out and save the world. What good does it do if you don't minister to your own home? I'm here tonight, and I will tell you, Brother Hennigan gave me great advice before I ever came here. He said, you check with your wife, see if she wants to go. She says, no, don't go. He said, you check with your two kids. If either one of your two kids says, Daddy, I want to go, he said, you don't go. Because if I lose my kids and save all of you, I have failed. I have failed. So I talked to my kids, and I talked to my wife, and I'm here today to minister to you because they were with me. And so he told him, go back to the ones that sin hurts the most. Go back to your family. And then you go from there to other people and to friends and so forth. And then he began to publish it from there to other places. Amen. And so we have to realize that when our first ministry belongs to our own family, your first prayer belongs to your own family. I'm sorry, but that's where it belongs. It's not that you shouldn't pray for other folks, but Lord, you brought them into this world. You didn't bring nobody else in this world. You brought your kids into this world. And so this man goes back to his own family. Peter, James, and John, they didn't lose anything like this. This guy, they were leaving a family that they were with. This man wanted to follow Christ. He said, no, mend it with your family. Go back home. So this brings me to the day the way ended. The only man that Christ refused to follow him was this man that I know of. But yet he would do the work of Christ because he knew the way. And Jesus called those that follow him to follow him in the way. Jesus spoke of being the way. He told Thomas, I am the way. I am the life and I am the truth. And Thomas said, how can we know the way? He said, look at me. Got to get this. Look at me. He that he told Philip, he that seen me, eyeballs, has seen the Father. But the day will come, the way will end. The way of walking by sight will end. The day the way ended. He said, told them, he said, you see me, I'm present with you. But the day will come, you will not see me anymore. Me, you have not always with me in one place, he said. But he said, I will send the way. I will send the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name. And it will show you the way. Then he told them in Luke 24 and 48, and ye are my witnesses of these things. As they come tonight, stay with me as they come. Ye are my witnesses of these things. Let me tell you what a witness will do. A witness will prove the truth. An eyewitness will prove the truth. You get a car wreck and they're going to say, anybody witness this? One or two hands go, I saw it happen. They will establish the truth. The Bible says in one place, in the mouth of two or three witnesses, let every word be established. He takes these men that are still following him as they see him, and he's saying, you will be the way. You will preach the truth. You will preach life. I will lead, but you will show them the way. You will be my witnesses. Luke 24 and 48. And behold, I send the promise of my Father upon you, but tarry ye in the city of Jerusalem until ye endued with power from on high. And he led them out. They're still following him, Brother Valentine, in the way. This was part of the way. And he led them as far as Bethany. And he lifted up his eyes and said, that's the way. That's the way. I'm going that away. But he looked back and blessed them as the way was lifted. And it came to pass, while he blessed them, he parted from them and was carried up into heaven, showing us the way. I go away to prepare a place that where I am, there you may be also. And they worshiped him and returned to Jerusalem with great joy. They went home and were continually in the temple, praising and blessing God. You know, they got so wrapped up, Brother Valentine, in going to the temple and breaking bread that the Lord said, wait a minute. I told you to go into Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and uttermost parts there. See, this man that had the demons, he went home. Wasn't long, he was publishing it. It wasn't long, he was getting the word out everywhere. So that Christ didn't even have to be there. He come over in one day, went back the same day, said, no need for me to stay. You got it, buddy. They all know you. What kind of witness are you? When they see you, do they see the way? Are you that powerful of a witness that when they see you, they say, brother, there's something different about you. There is something different about you. You're sitting there calm and in your right mind. I'm going crazy, taking all this stuff, trying to calm my nerves down. What kind of witness are you? Showing them the way. He could leave that man in charge. I'm gonna go back over here to Jairus. He needs me. That woman with issue blood, she needs me. But you got it. So the disciples, they're breaking bread. Oh, praise God, hallelujah, thank God for the way. And they're not really getting out and showing nobody the way. So the Lord said, if you don't want to show the way like that guy showed the way, I'll show you the way. I'll show you the way. And he sent persecution. And one went this way. And one went that way. And another one went down to Samaria. And another went down to Ephesus. And another one went down to... Because if you don't show people the way, he'll persecute you till you do. He sent persecution. So if you got sickness tonight, I'm not saying God put the sickness on you. I'm just saying if he heals you, will you show somebody the way? Or are we just going, oh, thank God he healed me. Thank God. Brother Valentine, God is good. He healed me. But yeah. What about them sinners?
Right.
What about them other people that had the devils in them? What about them other people that are your neighbors? What about those other people who, it's easy to tell people that believe. Oh, God's good, ain't he? Well, what about those people that don't know your God? I'm being tough tonight. Because he'll put something on you and then get you out of it so he can get the glory. This man had it down. He had it so down that Christ said, you take over. I'm going back over here. They need me worse over here than I need to be over here. And in one day, he was back and forth. Can Christ leave you in charge tonight and say, well, I don't really need to go to Carlos. They got so many Christians over there. They're showing people the way. Man, every time they go to Walmart, they say, look how great God is to me. They get in line at Wendy's. They say, woo, God is so good. You know the Lord healed me. We having people in our church getting healed today every time we have service. There's somebody, I've been hearing about Sister Johnson. I mean, when Sister Johnson, I first heard she had something wrong. And I don't know if you want people to know or don't know, but it was bad. And then come back, I ask you, well, what about that? Said, oh, well, she don't have that. And then it was something else. And it was bad. And then come back, she don't have that. And then I come back again tonight and say, we went to the doctor and checked on that. And we thought, she don't have that. You better tell some other folks. You better tell some other folks. Some others that aren't in the way already. It's easy to tell another disciple, hey, John, the Lord touched me today, buddy. I'm feeling good. Tell somebody who don't know the way. And bring them in the way. Because guess what? You are the way. You are the truth, and you are the life. He left that man with the way. Would you stand tonight? I'm challenging you. We're going to be moving. I don't know when, but we're going to be moving, Lord willing. And I'm thinking the Lord's going to do wonderful, great things. But Lord, it's time to get out of our way. We're in our own way. Do you know that? You're in your own way. Well, I don't know if I should tell them. You're in your own way. You're worried about your own self. What about giving God the glory? I'm telling you, them demons was probably scared to go back to that man. Whoo, I don't touch him no more. And see, all those demons were released. That one man that had them could take care of all of them. He took care of all of them. Because he had been touched with Christ. Hallelujah. As they sang tonight, I just quick, it won't take but just a minute. Why don't you come down here? I wish that if you need a touch, you need a healing, you need something, I challenge you. Tell the Lord that if you heal me, God, I'll tell everybody tomorrow. I'll tell everybody next week that I run into. Hallelujah. I hope to be an example to you how you should operate. You heard me tonight telling you about my roof. I ain't joking. I'm not joking. The Lord woke me up. She knows it. That ain't the first time. He woke me up after me fruitlessly trying to solve that problem. Now, I would be a fool to get up here and tell you about the problem and not tell you he solved it. Even, brother, if I got up there 10 times before I finally got it, you know what I'd say? He gave me the strength and health to get on that ladder. He gave me the strength and the health to get up there. He gave me the money to buy the tar. I can fix the roof, whatever it is.
Amen.
You've got to find a way to give God the glory. Hallelujah. And I'm telling everybody. You know what happened to that lame man he healed at the gate called Beautiful? He was telling everybody. That was the problem. That was the problem. You see, they wouldn't have got the beating if he hadn't have told everybody. But he was going around telling everybody, hey, me, I'm that guy that used to be lame there. That's me. Watch this, buddy. And he was spreading the name of Jesus, publishing it, being a witness. He was telling everybody.
Amen.
What about us? You can work side by side by people and never tell them what God does for you? Really? Come on. You see, he said, if you're ashamed of me on this day, I will be ashamed of you on that day. God is looking for witnesses. He told them, ye are my witnesses, period. Well, let's get to work.
Amen.
It's never too late to witness. So, but that was 10 years ago. So, you think the lame man told it for a week and he quit because it was, no, he told that to the day he died.
So.
Oh yeah, day I die, I'm telling you what God did for me 30 years ago.
it's still good. It's still a miracle. Miracles don't dissipate with time. So I believe tonight, you that we prayed for, you don't lie to God now. If God touches you and heals you, He's going to expect you to walk into stores and tell people. If they even imagine halfway, look, hey, well, you know, I was having some neck problems right here, and the Lord healed me just miraculously. And I had had this and surgery, and you start telling them. And you know what that person will do? They're going to go tell somebody else.
That's right.
And you know what they'll see? The way, the truth, and the life. That's why He said, you're my witnesses. Now you're the way, you're the truth, and you're the life. Lord, help us tonight. God, open up our understanding to realize this is not our world. We don't belong here. God, we belong to You. And we're only passing through to be a witness, Lord. Help us, Lord. And when we get there, You say, well done. You've been a witness to many. You spread My name and spread My gospel. Lord, I ask You, if anything comes upon us, we turn to You. But Lord, let us go back to the world and tell the world what You've done for us. In Jesus' name. Amen. 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 God bless y'all. See you Sunday.